Well, as we're dealing with 1 John in the Bible, we are certainly dealing with a very important subject, and there is a tremendous difference between those who profess to know Christ and those who really do know Christ, and there is probably, this is truly a passage in the Bible that emphasizes that. And I remember in 1 John, there is the trinity of three great principles that characterize a person who has been born again. And we have three great words in this book. We have the word righteousness. And that is a big word, righteousness. And we have the word truth. Over and over, truth. And we have the word love. Now, all three of those words are emphasized in this book as the evidence of true salvation. Love, truth, righteousness. They describe what that big word in 1 John 1 is, light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that light is revealed in 1 John 3 in the areas of morality, righteousness, in the area of truth, that is the truth of the Bible, and the belief in the truth, and love. And we'll get to try to reemphasize the correct definition of love as found in the Bible and not in Hollywood. So, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, where we started, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now, this passage is much different than for John chapter 3 verse 16, where the love of God is declared. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And of course, the love of God is declared in the Gospel of John as is it is the presentation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, God who robed himself in flesh that he might die for our sin. And God's love is declared. It says, "For God so loved the world." And it's worth mentioning that the word world there is the word cosmos. And the word cosmos refers to this world that is under the dominion of Satan, a highly organized system of rebellion against a holy God. That's the world that we live in, a system of rebellion against God. You see it everywhere, rebellion against God, against his word, against his holiness. And, you know, as human beings, we have a hard time loving rebellion. We have a hard time loving wickedness. You know, you have a hard time loving someone who stabs you in the back. You know, you have a hard time doing that. But that's what the Bible is saying. "For God so loved the world." This highly organized system of rebellion against God and a whole vast earth of people in rebellion against a holy God. And and so the Bible says that God loved this world and declares it as he declares that he gave his only begotten Son. So God's love is declared to the world. You know, it's not some trite saying that you see at a football game, John 3:16. This is pretty amazing, pretty sobering fact that and we live in a day in which there are some awful wicked people, and it might be hard for some people to you know, love certain political figures when you know how wicked they are. But God so loved the world. And then Romans tells us, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God is proving his love in a different way, but in the same way, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He proved his love. He didn't die for good people. He died for sinners. He died for those who are ungodly. He died for those who were without strength. The Bible says that God proved his love. But you know, that's one side of the picture. 1 John deals with another side of the issue. We have his love declared. We have his love proved. But 1 John is talking about those who have experienced God's love. Verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." And this is talking about the person who has been born again. The person who has been born into the family of God. The person who has accepted Christ and became a child of God at that moment. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." This is a love that is experienced. You know, it's one thing to say the love of God, but you know, it's a whole nother thing on the other hand to say, you know, "I've experienced the love of God." Now, if you're saved, then you can say that. You can say that the love of God is so great. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. You know, the picture of the Bible is God is the one who seeks us. You know, the Bible says he sent the Son to the world not to condemn the world. That's right, because we're already condemned. Man was already on its way to hell. And Jesus came to rescue us from hell. Man had already chosen to go to hell. But Jesus came to rescue us. But when you get on the other side and you accept Christ, it's a whole nother dimension. It's like, I can't believe it. How could this be? How could this be? Now, if you're saved, you can say that. It was as though it was yesterday, but it was over 52 years ago. I remember just not long after I was saved and started to learn the Bibles, started to understand what salvation was. I can remember walking down University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, as a sophomore at the university, and just saying, "I can't believe it, that God would love me so much. That he would forgive all my sins." And I just remember just being overwhelmed with that fact. That God would love me. That I could know that my sins are forgiven. That I was a child of God. And that's what it's talking about. You know, when you get saved, you have perceived, you've experienced. You know by fact, by your personal experience, that God so loved you, and his love was so great as he gave his Son on Calvary's cross to die for our sin. Now, there's a whole difference between knowing that is a fact and knowing what he did. And it's another thing to have trusted Christ and known it for yourself. That's what this verse is talking about. That's what this verse is talking about. That at that moment in time, that a person, as a lost, hell-deserving, rotten sinner, turns from their rotten sin and turns to Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. And they're saved. They become a child of God. And now they have experienced God's love for them. And so this love that is experienced has an overwhelming effect. And 1 John is full of the overwhelming effects of this love of God. And we'll get to this passage, but let me remind you of some of the things that the Bible tells us about those who have experienced the love of God. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, it says, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Oh yes, isn't that amazing? You know, that when you come to Jesus Christ, and you experience his love for you and saving you and forgiving of your sin, you know what? The commandments of God aren't grievous. You know, a good, before you get saved, it's like the Bible is a list. I didn't know much about the Bible, you know, but a list of do's and don'ts. And you know, unsaved people, they don't care about the truth per se. Unsaved people don't care about the truth. They don't care about the truth. I remember being unsaved, and you know, when we thought about religion, we thought about what they let the people do and what they didn't let the people do. You know, and if it was okay for the people to drink, that was okay, then that might be okay. You know, and if that's how you judge religion. You know, by this or that, not about what the Bible said. It's just about what convenient. You know, I want to, well, that church is okay, you know. I can go to the dance and I can drink my beer and I can smoke my cigarettes. You know, that's how the world judges the Bible and religion. But you know, when you get saved, the Bible says the love of God so transforms you that you want to obey him. And you want to find out what he says is right and wrong. And those things that are right and wrong aren't grievous. You know, grievous means, oh, I'm going to do this. I don't want to do this. You know, that's a good sign that you aren't saved. Man, I'm bucking at this. Rules. No. When you get saved, you want to know what God says. You know, want to know what was right and wrong. You know, just a little story. I was talking to this Christian professor of a Bible college. And I was objecting to them, a teacher recommending Harry Potter books. I said, you know, you shouldn't be recommending this book. You should be banning it. And the professor said to me, it says, if we would ban this, our students would want to read it. I said, what? What?